And anybody else need a book? Need to borrow one today? All right. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, we are in victory over family turmoil, which is going to be lesson number 8 in your books. We left off with a memory verse in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 8. So Romans 13 and verse 8. So if you want to open up to chapter 8, or lesson 8, I should say. And then Romans 13 and 8. By the way, we said this before, and I'll say it again. Every family is going to have turmoil.
Well, yes, we are.
It's just when and what type. But everybody's going to have family turmoil. You're going to have things go wrong in your family. You say, well, I'm single. Singles have problems as well because they're single. Amen. And they have their own set of problems. And so everybody's going to have problems in their family, whether it's a family of one or a family of two or more. Amen. And why did we say we're going to have problems? Why are we going to have problems? Ken? We're sinners. And what do sinners bring with them? 10. And so if it's one person, I've got one person's sins. If it's two people, I've had how many people's sins?
Two.
If I got three, how many people's sins? Three. And also, you know, so the bigger family you have, the more sins you will have. Amen. So is that a plea to have less children? No. Amen. As a matter of fact, the more children you have, the more help you have. Amen. So that is just the reality of the fact. So Romans chapter 13. Let's go over there, Romans 13, and we're going to look at verse number 8. We'll quote that together, then we'll pray and get right back in it. Why are we looking at Romans 13, 8? Because we're talking about the problems in the prodigal son's family. And the father had to have this type of love. And the prodigal son had to know that that type of love was residing there. Otherwise, he wouldn't come back. Now, you think about it. Who wants to come back to an environment where there is no love? Not a, you know, would you? You know, somebody hates you. You know, are you going to come back home? Amen. I wouldn't. You know, come back home and live with daddy and mama, but they hate me. You know, come back and live with sister and brother, but they hate me. Come back and live with mama and daddy, even the dog hates me. I mean, that's not going to be a fun environment. And so we found that the ingredient that is missing in many homes is love. And that is unconditional love. Now, unconditional doesn't mean that I receive them back without any repentance.
Right.
Repentance is still necessary. So Romans 13, 8, let's look at that here together. Let's say the reference, and then we'll read the verse, and then the reference. Here we go. Romans 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Romans 13, 8. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. I pray that your hand may work in us. And Lord, you would guide, direct, and lead as we try to uncover and discover more about the prodigal son and relationship he had with his family. And Lord, to really understand much of family turmoil in America right now. And Lord, help us to really uncover what we should do. Either if we're the prodigal or if we're in the father's place, Lord, either one, we're going to have love and know that love is abiding and remaining. So work in us and through us. Now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right. Let me give you the blanks that you don't have filled in just in case you don't have them. And Roman numeral number 1 was reasons for family turmoil. Reasons for family turmoil. We looked at several reasons why we have family turmoil, and all extending from this one factor of sin. Say, preacher, what were some of those reasons we talked about? Talk about outside forces, social media, sports, political figures, TV, peers, people, jobs. Those are all outside forces, in-laws or outlaws, as they may be. Amen. Then we talked about some inside forces, people's wills, what they want to do, their attitudes, rebellion, laziness, fighting, disobedience, honor, lying, backbiting, jealousy, those are all inside forces that work in and through people. So you have both inside forces and you have outside forces working against the family. Okay, so we are already starting off on a bad foot there. So rule number one is reasons for family turmoil. And then A, we saw there was a focus on self, a focus on self. The prodigal wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wanted his own way. We saw all we like sheep have done what?
Gone astray.
We've turned everyone to what?
His own way.
How many of y'all don't want your way? Raise your hand. You don't want your way.
I don't want my way.
I'm glad, Jeff. Amen. I'm glad. Most of us, if we're honest, we want our way. And how many of us think that our way probably is the best way or the right way most times? Most of the time we think our way is the right way or the best way most times. If we're honest, if we didn't, we wouldn't go that way. And just be honest. I mean, if we didn't think our way was the right way or the best way, we wouldn't go that way. I mean, who in their right mind is going to go the wrong way on purpose?
Oh, yeah.
So we think that our way is the best way. Amen. Now, if I had my way, Dr. Bruner would have stayed here, but he thought his way was better. So he went to California to take a professor's job. Amen. But God's way is the best way.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
So there's a focus on self. Then we saw there's a rejection of structure. The prodigal rejected the home structure. He never asked for guidance. He never asked for advice. He never asked for any help that we see in Scripture. You know, and I wonder if he got with his friends like Solomon's son did. That could be. But there's a rejection of structure because normally there is a structure in the family. There's the dad, and then there is the mom, and then there are the children. And so he should have asked for some assistance in the relationship there. Then we saw, there's a decision to sin. He found his way and he said, I'm going to go my way and I'm going to do my thing. And he did what he did. And he consciously, not unconsciously, chose sin.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so then we come up to Roman numeral 2. And let's go ahead and fill that out real quick here. Roman numeral 2. Amen.
Amen.
Roman numeral 2, the remedy for family unity. The remedy for family unity. If you and I are going to have family unity, there's going to be a remedy. Amen. By the way, if you're going to get well, there's going to be a remedy to get well.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If you got something, Lilia talked about getting the root canal.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that's got to go in getting well. So if you got Roman numeral 2, the remedy for family unity, then A, there must be a realization of sin. Mm-hmm. A realization of sin. That's A.
Right.
Realization of sin. The prodigal had to recognize that he was not right. And then B, there had to be a repentance of sin.
Yes, sir.
He had to change his direction, change his mind. Everybody got that? So repentance, a realization of sin, A, the repentance of sin, B. Amen. And then hopefully we'll get a chance to get into Roman numeral 3.
Amen.
But we won't go there just yet. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
All right, so. The remedy for family unity. Amen. By the way, does everybody know there is a remedy for family unity? Go to Genesis chapter 18. Let me show you something here. There is a remedy to family unity. By the way, as we're going over there, what brings on family disunity? We know sin, but let's classify that. What brings on family disunity? As you're going to Genesis 18, you're going to be stopping in verse number 19. What brings on family disunity? Beth?
Disagreements and pride.
Amen. Disagreements and pride. What can the disagreements be like? Disagreements. Tamara? Can be minor disagreements or it could be major. Amen. It could be something as simple as Mrs. Dawson likes to watch Little House on the Prairie.
Amen.
I like Tom and Jerry.
Good job, man.
The two are diametrically opposed. They don't, one is foolishness and one is seriousness. Amen. One is funny. Well, the other one is really not so funny. It's more like life situations. Now, life situations can be funny. But Bugs Bunny, there's nothing funny about, there's everything funny about Bugs Bunny. Nothing serious about it. And so she likes Little House. I like that. I like science fiction. She likes real fiction.
Amen.
I mean, not real fiction, but, real life.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, when you look at that, I mean, she likes a lot of biographies. I like action. I mean, she likes, romance or this kind of thing here. And I like, you know, the stuff you bonk somebody on the head. Amen. Yeah. So, you know, there's nothing romantical about that. And so there can be disagreements that are minor, you know, because I'll watch Little House on the Prairie. Amen. She'll watch Little House. I mean, she'll watch Tom and Jerry just to watch me laugh. She'll watch Three Stooges just to watch me laugh. And she's still trying to figure out what's so funny about somebody getting bonged on the head.
Yeah.
I don't know what's so funny about it. I just know it is. Amen. You know, so there can be minor disagreements, but, you know, that doesn't bring disunity into our family. But some can be.
Yep.
You know, how many of y'all don't put the toothpaste back where it belongs? And that's a problem for you. Amen. Some it is. Some, you know, somebody uses all the toilet paper and they don't replace the toilet paper. That can be a problem for you. Amen. And you can have a bad feeling about that. And so when that happens, it brings some disunity in the family. You don't take the garbage out, or if you do, you don't put a plastic bag back in the garbage. That could be a problem for you.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
You don't pick up after yourself. That could be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be some disagreements, and so some things can cause disunity. What else can bring disunity in a family? Bros? Favoritism. I like Johnny better than I like Sue. Or I like Bill better than I like Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
What else can be a problem? You know, by the way, you got to watch this sometimes. Sometimes my faithy poo, she'll see me hugging up and snuggling up on my honey bunny. And she'll have to look like, what about me? Now,
yep.
Is that favoritism?
No.
Does she see it as favoritism? She can. Because she's like, she's a female. I'm a female. What does she have that I don't have? Much, no. And so the children, in their mind, they can see it as favoritism. So now what's my role as a father? So that there's not disunity in that type of relationship. What's my role? Show her affection as well, but also I've got to teach her the family structure. There is dad. And there is mom, and dad and mom are together, and we're a unit. We're a whole, and that's the way a family relationship should be. And you're the daughter, and we love you too, and we snuggle up. But there are times when daddy's got to get with mama and snuggle up with her. Now, I don't know if your children are anything like my children, but anytime my wife and I are trying to snuggle, what do you think the children try to do? What did we say, Ben? Get right in the middle. Try to, you know, wiggle their little bottoms in there. I'm like, no. You on the right side or you go on the left side? You are not getting in the middle of this. don't even try that. Amen. But they will. They'll try and get right in the middle. Now, why is that? They are kids. What's that? They are kids. What you say? They want to be loved too. As Rose said, they want the affection too. They're like, give me some of that stuff that y'all giving each other. And so our job then as parents is to give them some of that stuff that we're giving each other. Amen. And to show them that there is a structure here. There's a mama. There's a daddy. We love each other, but we also love you too. And there's some time for you as well. Otherwise, there's going to be family disunity. What else can bring on family disunity?
Money.
Money. There's not enough of it. Or there's not enough going towards me. Or there's not enough going to the children, so they think. And as my son would say, you don't have enough to buy me a Lamborghini or a Ferrari. I don't think many people will have enough to buy you that, son. Amen. So I don't care which family you go to. There's not enough money. What else can be a problem with money? Besides just not enough of it. Rose? Bankruptcy?
There you go.
Amen. Were you going to say something?
You're spending too much of it. You may have the money, but you're spending it on things that don't need to be bought or do we buy a new car or do we get the car that we have fixed? And it can be conflict over
that. Amen. Overspending. Or buying things that we don't need. I like a Fred Flintstone. He was going off on Wilma about her spending money for something. And he's talking about, well, you spent this money on bowling. And he said, well, that's business expenses. That's different. Amen. I got to have that. Amen. So it can be a difference in opinions as to what I think is important, what's a priority, and what they think is important or a priority. You know. And according to the children, I mean, if you don't get brand name cereal with the sports figures on it, then you don't really buy cereal. You know, if Steph Curry is not on the cereal, you don't buy any. We went to the store. My wife, I should say, took the children to the store. And Gregory saw the underarm deodorant with Steph Curry on it. And my wife said, we are not buying Steph Curry deodorant. She said, here's a thought. Get the deodorant that we already have and glue a picture of Steph Curry on it. There you go. I mean, you think he bought it. He didn't buy that concept, but we didn't buy the deodorant either. Amen. But I mean, if the favorite character sportsman is not on the box of cereal, what kind of cereal is that? Yes. It's the kind that's budget. So there can be a difference in that. What else besides finances can cause disagreements, Lilia?
This is hard because for me, I come from the Philippines, and we have the it's more expensive when I go to the Filipino store.
Amen.
You know, $25 for it, like, that's two meals. So, we work better than because I decided to give in.
Amen, amen. So, I'm going to keep the peace. I'm going to keep the peace. Amen, amen. You know, and if we're honest, you know, there's many things that, you know, can cause family disunity. And bring a turmoil into the family. I mean, it's not just finances and the cereal and the deodorant, you know, the favoritism. I mean, there's a lot of other things. And every family is unique. And every family is going to have their own type of turmoil. Even singles, Tasha, I'm sorry. Amen. Even singles are going to have that. Jesse's going to have his as well. Amen. There's going to be those. Alex is going to have. Are you married, Alex? No, even Alex is going to have his. I mean, it's, you know, it's great being single, amen. But being single has its challenges as well. It has its turmoil as well, amen. So, you know, that's why many of us got married, because that was a turmoil in being single, amen. Like, I don't like that, amen. I need somebody else to come help me, amen. And so there's family turmoil there because of disunity. But there is some remedy for family unity. So how can things be put back together when turmoil comes into a home? How can unity be restored when relationships have been broken? Let's take a peek in Genesis 18 and verse 19. And who's there? I can read that for me. Rose, you there? Read that, Genesis 18, 19. Amen. So speaking about Abraham, and God is giving him some commendation as to his ability to orchestrate and lead his family. Now, by the way, did Abraham have a perfect family?
No. Did not.
Because Abraham was in it. It wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. And also because Sarah was in it, it wasn't perfect. They weren't perfect. Neither were their children perfect. But God said, there's something about Abraham that I know. He's going to make sure that he's going to command his children. Now, by the way, does that mean you pick up this and you do this and you do this and you do this? Is that what command is all about? No. In the military, we have what's called commanders.
Commanders. Yes, sir, Pastor.
Their goal is not to dictate and order people around. Their job is to make sure that the people under their charge have what they need to get the job done. He sets a structure. He sets some guidelines. He gives the supplies. And he says, now you guys get the job done. His job is to orchestrate and oversee it. His job is not to start just saying, you do this, you do this. He's got to be a provider. He's got to make sure everybody has what they need. And guess what else he's got to do? He's got to lead by example.
Yes, he does, Pastor. He does.
And so he's got to have that relationship with him. So he says, I know him, that he will command his children and, notice this, his household after him. Everybody's going to do what they need to do.
Right.
That they shall, notice this, keep the way of the Lord. They're going to do what they ought to do justice and judgment, notice this, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. By the way, do you know that God wants unity in your family?
Yes, sir, he does.
If your family is a born-again family, God wants unity in your family. Even if it's not, guess what? God still wants unity in your family because he says marriage is honorable in how many?
All.
And the bed undefiled. And so God wants that unity to be in every family, whether it's a saved family or not. He wants that family to be unified. By the way, where does all society come from? A family of some sort. As dysfunctional as it may be. It may be in an orphanage. It may be being raised on the street. But all of humanity comes from a family of some sort. Now you know why we're in trouble. Amen. Because a lot of the families are in trouble. Jesus said it this way, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And so there's a remedy for family unity. Amen. And the unity and the structure has got to be followed by biblical commands where God is there. And so the remedy for family unity, we're going to talk about that just a little bit. By the way, it says here, if there is trouble and turmoil in a family, then we need to take the responsibility for putting the pieces back together.
Yes, sir. We have to, Pastor.
By the way, it didn't happen that way by itself. It had help.
True that, Pastor.
And so it needs to have some help getting put back together. By the way, God does not leave us without an answer or solution to the problems. The story of the prodigal son is not only tells us how the family was torn apart or torn asunder with selfishness and pride, but it also lets us know how the pieces were put back together. And what did it start with? Amen. It started with the realization of sin. First, there's got to be a realization of sin. We touched upon this last week. Go back to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we touched upon this just briefly last week. Did the prodigal repent right away? No. After he went out there and spent his money on wildness and foolishness, what did he do once the money ran out? What did he do? I heard some pigs. Went to go find a job feeding pigs. So in other words, instead of going back home right away, what did he do? He said, well, I can find my way. I can do something on my own. I can get some resources. Now imagine if he is a Jew feeding pigs. Amen. There's a realization of sin. Now, by the way, let's just imagine for a minute. Think of the worst job you could possibly think about, because that's probably what this prodigal is thinking about. What's the worst job you could possibly think about? I mean, the dirtiest, most vile, Rose.
Cleaning toilets?
Clean. Cleaning toilets, changing someone as hospice or someone, being a nurse and changing a bedpan or something like that, someone that has lost their bowels and things like that. You know, for some folks, that's just disgusting. And some folks, doesn't bother them at all.
Right.
You know? But for each of us, it's going to be a little different.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, I said this. I said I would never be a shoe salesman. I couldn't do it. You go in there and you wait on someone. They put on 30 shoes and they don't buy any. And you got boxes everywhere. And you got to put them all back. And there's customers waiting. I said I could never be a shoe salesman.
There you go, Pastor. There you go.
So I could never be. I couldn't do that. I said I could never be a waiter.
Yeah.
Because I was one of those guys in there saying, can you get me this? And this is not clean, and this is not well, and this is not done, and this is dirty. And I told my wife one time, we went to the restaurant and bought some ribs. I said, these look like Weight Watcher ribs. I want ribs. Baby back ribs, country style ribs. And these are Weight Watcher ribs. I am not on a diet.
Here you go, Pastor.
I called the manager. I said, look at these ribs. I said, there is very little meat on these bones. Now, I know they're called ribs. But it's got to be some meat on these. I said, I'm paying $20 here.
Amen,
at least
amen.
Let them smell like meat.
Amen.
And they bought me out some more ribs. And I thought, nah, that's more like it.
Amen,
G2 had the baby version of ribs.
Wow.
And it had more meat on his than I had on the adult version.
Oh, my goodness.
And he paid $6 for his and I paid $20.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's over there like, Daddy, what's wrong with your ribs? I said, these are Weight Watcher ribs. And I'm about to turn these in. Hey guys, what do you want me to do with those? I'm going to eat these and make up for it. Amen. when you look at this, amen, there's a remedy. Amen. And you gotta think about what's going on here. He is doing a job that probably nobody would want to do who was a respectable Jew. Amen. Think about, how do you think he felt? Personally, how do you think he felt? Low?
Low. I agree.
You think he went around to some of his Jew friends whilst he was at work? Or what if they saw him feeding the hogs?
Dude.
He'd be embarrassed?
He'd be embarrassed. Yes, he would.
Yo, hey, Josiah, what are you doing over there? Oh, yeah, I just stopped by to see a friend. What are you doing slopping those pigs over there? Well, they asked me if I could help them out a little bit. But don't you know that's unclean? We're not supposed to be near that. Yeah, I know, but you know. Yeah, you know, I'm in this situation right now. What are you going to say?
You right, Pastor.
But what do we say when we're down? We've gone our own way. And we've done our own thing. And now we're reduced to doing something that we don't want to do. Amen. And so he's got this situation going on here. And there's a realization of sin that has to happen. But he did not immediately repent of his sin. It does not appear that he spent much time in reflection of the heartbreak that he had caused his family, of what sorrow he caused his dad or his mom or his brothers. Notice this. It says this. It was not until all of his money was gone. There was a great famine and he had nothing that he began to reflect on what he had done. Before restoration can heal a conflict in a family, the person who has violated the scripture must come to the place where he or she realizes that they have sinned indeed against God. It says the prodigal son reached a point where he was frustrated and empty. The things got so bad that he took a job feeding a pig. And for a Jew, the pig was an unclean animal. It was very degrading to have anything to do with pigs. Not only did he take the job, he wanted to eat the pig's food as well. Wow. Notice verse number 16 down there. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Would fain means to long for, desire, to lust for. He had once lusted for what? Pleasure. Having his own will. Mm-hmm. And now once he's gotten it, he's out there. And he doesn't like what's out there. By the way, sometimes your son or your daughter may go through that. They want to get away from your rules. They want to get away from what you have said.
Yep.
They don't like what you're doing. They don't like the way you're doing it. Maybe they think there's favoritism. Maybe they think, as Rose said, there's no affection towards them.
Right.
And so they're going to go out and find somebody that'll give them all those things.
Yep.
It's not going to always be a smooth road. And so there's got to be a realization of sin. Sin never takes us up, but it always takes us down. Now, if he had gone about things the right way and said, you know what, Dad, I really would like to get out on my own and experience life. And can I have your blessings and counsel with the dad? Do you think things might have been different for him?
Yes.
Possibly.
Possibly.
All depends on the reasons why he left.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he left was not good. It was terrible. So not only does it have to be a realization of sin, but then there's got to be a repentance of sin. Restoration cannot begin until the person who has done the wrong reaches the place where he or she realizes that what they did was wrong. And remorse is never enough. Good enough. Hold your finger there. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, by the way, are our children going to always make good decisions? No. Can we bail them out of every bad decision? No. No, we can't. If we continue to bail them out of every bad decision that they make, what's going to happen to that child ultimately? They are dependent on you. And listen to this. If they're dependent on you, sooner or later they're going to get them in a situation that you can't bail them out. And when you can't bail them out and they're dependent on you, who are they going to blame?
You.
Because you have made them dependent upon you. And you have made them use you as a crutch. And so now they're dependent on you. And so when you can't bail them out, guess whose fault it is? It's your fault.
It's yours.
You've always did it before. So what's different this time? You've always done it before. I told my wife the same thing. We went home with our family years ago, and I said, we're going to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My wife said, but this is our family. We only see them, you know, so often. I said, we're going to establish the pattern. I said, because as soon as we don't go home, go to church, and something comes up, they're going to say, well, you did it last time, and we have just enabled them to be dependent on us to change our plans that God has already put in our life based upon their plans. And so we said, this is what we're going to do. Yep. I can remember my mama. Well, so-and-so is coming over. I said, well, let them come to church with me then.
Amen.
Oh, that's okay. We'll be here when you get back. Well, that's what I figured. And so you never want to enable someone to become dependent upon you, especially when they are making bad decisions over and over again.
Right.
And so come over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Notice verse number 10. And who's there can read that one for me? 2 Corinthians 7, 10. Sam, you there? The sorrow of the world worketh death. There is a genuine godly repentance, but there's also a sorrow of the world. Notice verse number 8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though but for a season. Paul says, I wrote to you guys, and you felt bad, and I felt bad about it. But you know, I knew this was going to help you out. Verse 9. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry. Notice this, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. He said, you just didn't feel bad. Your bad feeling caused you to repent, change your mind, change your heart, change your direction. He says that ye sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Sorrow, God's sorrow brings change. And it brings change towards the decision that I made. And the prodigal made a bad decision. And so his godly sorrow allowed him to see, I had it good in my father's house. I left with a bad feeling. I told him and demanded, give me my stuff. I never counseled with my dad. I rejected the structure of my home. And I went my own way. And I got out here and it's bad. And so he is not coming back and saying, you know what? I want to come back and I want you to receive me without getting right. He said, no, I'm going to get right. And so there was a repentance of sin. David had it best there. Psalm 55. Go over to Psalm 55 or 51. I'm sorry. Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, of course, David starts out, have mercy upon me, O God, because he knows he's in a bad situation. And he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. Notice that I acknowledge, he says, I see them. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned. He acknowledges who I sinned against. By the way, when the prodigal is trying to return home, does he acknowledge who he sinned against? Yes. What two entities does he realize he sinned against that he names off the prodigal? Shane? God. He said, I sinned against heaven. That's the first entity. And what was the second entity? The Father. He said, I've sinned against heaven and against thee. The same thing David is. Now, by the way, did David's sin involve other people? Yes. A lot of people. His children. Mm-hmm. Uriah's family. Mm-hmm. Ahithophel.
Yep.
Joab, his commander. Mm-hmm. People that saw it and that knew it. Not to mention David himself. But guess what? It was against God first and foremost. And so this sin that has happened here with the prodigal is the same way. It involved the father, mm-hmm. but it involved God the Father first and his father second. The mother, of course, the other son there, the other brother that was upset. Mm-hmm. What about the relatives involved?
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of people involved here. And so restoration cannot begin until the person who has done the wrong reaches the place where he realizes that what he has did was wrong. David said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Remorse over sin is not enough. There must be true repentance. Repentance begins when we acknowledge that we have done wrong and agree with God about it. Says here, true repentance is when we realize that what we've done is against God first before it is against others, against thee and thee only. By the way, why is it against God first? That's true. That's true. There's another reason as well. Goes hand in hand with Brother Sam said. Ms. Dawson? God set the law. And so it's God. If you leave home and you set a law for your oldest son and you say, look, I want everybody to abide by this. Mm-hmm. And the other siblings don't abide by the law. Who have the other siblings sinned against? The oldest sibling in charge or the parent who set the law? Parent who set the law. The other sibling, the older, he's just trying to enforce what mom and dad have set in order. And so David acknowledged that, look, God set this in order. And so I sinned against him first. Now, also, I went against you as well. Now, the children are sinning against the oldest sibling as well, because he's just trying to establish the order and enforce what mom said. And so David said, I've sinned against thee and thee only, but also others as well. The prodigal said it best. Go back to 15, Luke chapter 15. And Luke 15, let's pick it up in verse number... Which verse did we just read here a few minutes ago? 17. Notice 17. When he came to himself, what does that mean? He recognized what was going on. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. Now, before he could arise, what do you think he's thinking about when he thinks about these servants? He says, my father's servants. How many are being well taken care of? What do you think he's thinking about? Any idea, Rose? His dad will forgive. If my dad is taking care of the servants of the house, and I used to be in that house, I remember how dad treated the servants. I remember how fair dad was with everybody. I remember how good it was there. And I left that.
Amen.
I bet he's thinking, my dad, he takes care of his servants good. I'm his son.
Yes, sir.
He says, I will arise, go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. He said, I sinned against God. Mm-hmm. But also you, Dad. Now think about it. The only way our children, if they go out there, will ever think about repenting and coming back is if they know they can come back.
Mm-hmm.
My mother told me years ago, she said, boy, I don't care what you do. I don't care where you go. She said, even if you kill somebody, she said, you need to know you can always come to me.
Amen.
And you know what that did for me? Now, my dad never told me that.
That's right.
But my mom did. Dads were like this. Boy. You know, but my mom said, boy, I don't care what you do.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I love you. She said, I may not always approve of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But I love you, and you can always come and tell me anything.
Amen.
That empowered me.
Amen. Amen.
That empowered me as a son to say, no matter what happens, if all the world falls against me, I know there's someplace I can go. there's someplace I can go. There's a refuge for me. And I believe this prodigal understood that. I believe this prodigal said, man, yeah, there is a place. And that place is home. He said, I'll arise. I'll go to my father. I'll say unto him, I've sinned against heaven, against thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one. He said, I just want to be like one of the servants. I don't even have to be sonship. I know how good you take care of the hired servants here. I'd like to just get in on that company. That's good stuff for me. I've been out here feeding pigs. Anything is better than this. Amen. As Rose said, cleaning the toilet and the bedpan. Somebody come and offers you $1 million doing nothing. Just sitting at home. I think I'll take that. Amen. And so David, just like the prodigal, committed sins. And although David's sins were murder, the prodigal sons weren't that heavy. And it's true that David's sin affected many lives. It is also true that the prodigal son affected many lives. Read a statement here. It says, until we are willing to turn away from our sins and make things right, we have not truly repented. The desire of the young man's heart was changed when he repented. He longed now to go back to his father's house, the place he once couldn't wait to get away from. He wanted to apologize and make things right. He was willing to make a confession that he had done wrong. True repentance is always going to be outwardly apparent. And so the family unity of this prodigal can be restored by the remedy of a realization of sin. The prodigal had to come to himself. Yep. Then be the repentance of sin. He had to say, you know what, I'm going to change my direction. I'm going to go and get things right. By the way, he could not have done it. And I'll say this again, unless there was love. Folks, if there's nothing else in our homes, I mean, we can be dirt poor. There's got to be love.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
We got to love. Owe no man anything, Romans 13 said. Owe no man anything, but love. Mm-hmm. But love. The one thing that brought this young prodigal back was the love that he knew his father had, not just for him, but everybody under his household. And because of that love that was there, he was able to come to himself. Now, God, the father had nothing to do with the circumstances out there. And the famine, father had nothing to do with that. The father had nothing to do with the hog pen, none of that stuff. God orchestrated all that. God put him in a situation where he could reflect upon where he had taken himself to what he had. But the father could orchestrate his love. Mm-hmm. And the prodigal knew that there's some love back there. And although I've gotten myself in this position, and although God, I put myself out here feeding swine, I don't care how bad I smell, I can go back home.
Right. Amen.
And guess where he went?
Back home.
Back home. Amen. We'll pick it up next week with the restoration of family joy. Restoration of family joy. Roman number one, the reasons for family turmoil. It's because of self. Yeah. Focus on self, rejection of structure, decision to sin. But then there's the remedy for family unity. In the prodigal situation, realization of sin had to come. He had to come to himself. Repentance of sin. He had to turn and say, I'm going to go back and let everybody know that I've sinned. But then the restoration of family joy. What happens when he gets back home? And we're going to talk about that next week.
Amen.
But let me tell you this. If you don't take anything else home with you, take this. There's got to be love in our homes.
Yes.
Our children have got to see it.
Definitely.
They've got to know it. They've got to feel it. And we've got to show it. Don't neglect to love your children. I'm not saying accept sin. But I'm saying love the child.
Amen, Amen.
Love the sinner. But hate the sin.
That's right,
and I'm sure that's what this prodigal is going to say. Amen. Give you a memory verse here for next week. And it is going to be verse number 20. It's a long one.
20.
It's a long one. I'll change that one. No, I'll give you this. I'll give you 22. That's a little shorter. 22 would be easier. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. The father showed that love by receiving his son. He showed him. And so that's going to be the verse for next week. Luke 15. And verse number 22, Luke 15, 22. Amen. We're going to be dismissed. We'll pray. Bless the food. Amen. And Father, thank you once again for allowing us to see the family turmoil that can come. But Lord, we can get the victory over it through the love that's in Jesus Christ, forgiveness that's in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that families, if we do find our children going right wayward, we can identify what the problem is. Lord, we can't be a crutch for them, but when they come to themselves, there's got to be a place where they can go. When they repent, there's got to be a place where they can go. And Lord, I pray that we as parents will receive our children. And Lord, we would understand that where godly repentance is, what it looks like, and realization of sin. Help us, Lord, as we try to gain victory over family turmoil. Bless refreshments next door. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. All right, you are dismissed.